Brother Matt does at picking the songs, but they're always so perfect for the lesson. And I appreciate that, especially the second to last one from Isaiah 40. How did he know I'm going to talk about that in my sermon? But I tell you what, does a great job. We're thankful for him. Good morning. We're grateful to be here. What an honor, what a privilege it is to gather together as God's people. And we want to make sure all of our visitors know that they're welcome, and we're thankful that they're here, and want them to know that they are an encouragement to us. Just a couple things before the lesson. We are very grateful, and I know we weren't here Wednesday, did the thanks singing, and I don't know if it was announced or not, but we have a new sister in Christ, Isabel Sledge. And after service, if you get a chance, come down and meet Isabel and Jason if you haven't. After a Bible study last week, a little bit later in the evening, I get a call and she said, I'm ready. And she put on Christ in baptism. We're so thankful for that. And, you know, as a preacher, it encourages me, as I know it encourages everyone else. Whenever you find good, truth-seeking hearts out there, people still want Jesus, and they still want to obey the gospel in the manner the New Testament provides. So for that, we're thankful. And I'm pretty sure we still got a lot of people traveling over this past holiday, extended weekend. We got back late yesterday, and I hope at the potluck, if you didn't hear, everyone's invited. I hope at the potluck there's sweet potato casserole. Because when we did our Thanksgiving, my sister-in-law was in charge of the sweet potato casserole. She didn't get the memo not to put nuts in it. There's about 5 gallons of nuts in the casserole that big. So I didn't get to eat any. So it's been months now. But that's just hoping. We were thankful for that opportunity to go out there and spend some time with family, but it is good to be back. We're thankful to be here this morning. Let's go ahead and have a prayer before we begin the lesson. If you would, bow with me, please. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you for placing into our lives wonderful servants who model the humility and responsibility of our Savior. It's our prayer this morning, Father, that you would help us to be responsible people. And in that, Father, help us not to be loud and arrogant. Help us to quit promoting ourselves and to quit talking about ourselves. But rather, Father, help us talk about Jesus, to reflect him in all that we say and do. And let our responsible living for you begin there. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, we not only have a charge to be vessels of honor, right, our theme for the year. We have this charge to move closer to Christ and as believers to make an impact. But it needs to be our overwhelming desire to do so, right? To be vessels of honor. And again, we've been talking about throughout this year about filling ourselves with the things of God, right? To be vessels, to carry the things of God, right? And then we take that and we share that with the world. We reflect that with the world. And that needs to be our mindset every day to the best of our ability. Right, we need to be a people who strive to be vessels of honor. And John, I apologize, I didn't turn it on. That's why you're up there wandering around trying to fix something, isn't it? I just turned it on. But I want us to have that in our mind as we begin here. That has to be our overwhelming desire. Right, to be vessels of honor, to fill ourselves with the things of God and then take that to the world around us. Let that be what we reflect. And so in that, we have a charge, we have a responsibility. Right, and in the text we're going to look at this morning here, right, we have God's Word gives us wonderful examples to follow and to live by. And so that's what we're going to look at. But first here, I want you to think about what makes a great story. What makes a great story? The number one book, according to poll after poll after poll, for years and years and years, the number one book ever written, people say it is In Search of Lost Time by Marcel Proust. I've never read it. Don't plan on reading it. I understand some of the highlights. Just, nope, not for me. And what's very interesting, now this is number one, almost without a doubt, right, throughout the years, this is number one. But the thing about it is, Proust, it's a multi-volume story. He died before he wrote the last volume. But still, it's that good, apparently, that it's continuously rated as the best book ever written. So I want you to think about what makes up a story. You got a beginning, you got a middle, you got an end. And every good story has key ingredients, right? And in that story, to make it good, you have a particular character that has some type of ambition, and you know, something gets that character up and moving off the proverbial couch, and they're going to do something. They're going to take an action, right? They're moving toward a climactic end. But along the way, there's going to be conflict. Right, and hopefully the ambition of that character is going to handle that conflict and make it to that climactic end, right? And so that's what generally makes up a good story. And in that, of course, you got a beginning, a middle, and an end. Now, I want you to think about here, what's your story? Right, what makes up your story or our story as a body of believers? What's our ambition? What gets us up and moving in a particular direction? So let's think about that this morning here. And think about those key ingredients, you know, that make up your life. And you know, not just a list of things you've done. That's not what I want you to think about. I'm asking, what is the purpose of your life, and will you find a meaningful life? And you know, and again, not just the list that we generate in our mind's eye. And so we all know what makes up a great story. You know, and it has a character in it that has some kind of ambition. They know who they are, and because of that, they're incited to take an action, to move towards something. You know, that main character is trying to obtain something. And, you know, and in our story, just like in any good story that you read, you know, a conflict's going to come. Now, sometimes that we bring the conflict into our own lives. Satan definitely brings conflict into our lives. And sometimes just life, right? We live in a world, a broken world. When sin entered the world, it's just the way that it is. There's just going to be conflict. So let's think about our story. You think about your story. As we consider being vessels of honor. And if you would, open your Bibles to James chapter 5. And I want you to think about also about us having a responsible faith in our story. Now, what does that look like? But I want you to note something very interesting here as we study together. And, you know, asking a question, what is it that God wants us to be? You know, what is it that he wants us to do as vessels of honor, having a responsible faith? And so we're going to focus on James 5, verses 7 through 11. And I want you to notice here what we see reoccurring in this passage. Notice what these responsible individuals are doing and what they're being told to do. And it's the idea of patience or endurance in our responsible faith. Right, and in the seventh verse, it says, be patient. Again, a little deeper there in the seventh verse, waiting patiently. Verse 8, you also be patient. Drop down to verse 10, where he talks about the prophets, and he says of them, suffering and patience. Then in verse 11, he says, count them blessed who endure. And then he writes, you have heard of the perseverance of Job. Now, notice here how this endurance here is, it's going towards something. Right? Notice again there in the middle of verse 7, it's the coming of the Lord. Again in verse 8, the coming of the Lord. And in verse 9, the judge is standing at the door. Right? So in other words, you have this character is going to go into action. They're living toward this climactic event in their story. Right, and that's going to be the coming of the Lord. Now the problem is there's going to be some conflict along the way. Right, and James writes this passage, and he illustrates it really well here. He illustrates it with a farmer, verse 7, the prophets, verse 10, and Job in verse 11. But what I want you to see that he's hammering over and over and again here is... And what I want you to see here, it's, you know, I got to personalize this. He's talking to me, he's saying, Sean, are you listening? Right? Kind of shaking me. Right? And in that, he's saying, are you going to be ready for this great event in your future? Right? If you're responsible, you're going to be prepared for the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, the judge standing at the door. Are you ready? And listen, the lesson for this morning here in our text, very simple, yet very important. In that if we take our eyes off the coming of the Lord, our story is not going to be what it should be, right? What's going to be written about our story is not going to be written, right? The right thing that God wants written, right? And then what's written shouldn't be what was written, it'll be because we've lived irresponsible lives. Right? And then we're going to have an eternity to regret that. You know, regret that we lived a different story than what God wanted us to live. Right? And so we're being challenged here, really. We're being invited out of our modern American culture, right? That culture of immediate gratification, of irresponsible living. Right? And we're being invited to look towards a true meaning of life and to understand it's not all about how I feel right now. Right? It's not about seeking happiness right now. It's all about that climactic end that we're moving towards, that we're working toward. The coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, and the judge is standing at the door. And so my greatest ambition, you know, when I understand that, it's not going to be changed by moods, by hard times, by difficult circumstances. Right? My greatest ambition in my story, that what needs to be written about my story, is a lifetime commitment. Right, when the Lord comes, I want to be ready. I want to be responsible. I want to be prepared to meet Him. You know, I want to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant, come and enter my rest. And so that's what I want to be written about my story. And the problem is, you know, there's going to be a lot of conflict along the way. There's going to be a lot of difficulty along the way. But that's okay. I know what it is I'm moving toward. And so I want us to look here at these examples of responsible living, great examples of what we need to do to also be responsible, to be ready for the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, the judge standing at the door. And so we get all these three stories he shares with us. And so number one, you can see it there, I'm sure, in verse 7, the farmer. First example of responsible living here, being a vessel of honor, right? And really, it's maintained through endurance. So read it with me. Therefore, be patient, right? That's what he's saying to us, brethren, until when? Until the coming of the Lord. But there's a period there. Do you see that in your Bible? Even though it's the same verse, he's going to say, now let me give you an example of this. And so he says, see, right? In other words, are you noticing this? He's saying, let me give you an example here. See how the farmer waits. Waits for what? Well, the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until when? Until it receives early and latter rain. Now stop and think about this. What is the ambition of this character? You know, think about a farmer for a minute. What's the farmer's ambition? Well, it's to work the land, you know, to raise animals. That's the ambition of a farmer. Listen, if you're going to be a farmer, if that's your ambition, you better be responsible. Right? You better be responsible if your farming story is going to end in success. Right? He needs ambition and an absolute responsible mindset. Now, maybe there's some here. I don't know everybody's long history. If you're older, maybe you grew up in a family of farmers. Maybe you had neighbors that were farmers. Maybe it was your ambition to be a farmer. Maybe you did it for 10, 20, 30 years. I don't know. I don't know of any active farmers per se right now in our congregation. But if you know anything about farmers, right, that's just their ambition, you know, to work the land. And, you know, they get up before most of us do, right? And they're going to work all day long. Many times it's 6 days a week minimum, right? And imagine this, if you would follow a farmer around for a day, probably a 10, 12-hour day minimum, that worked hard all day, and you followed them, and then you come to the end of the day, and you ask them, hey, I saw you work hard all day. Well, you know, what'd you get paid? Paid? I didn't get anything paid. You know, what are you talking about? And let's say you watch them for an entire week, right? They get up before you do, and they're working long before you leave, and you watch them for a week, and they invest all of this hard work. At the end of the week, you say, hey, did you get a paycheck? Well, they didn't tell you. No, I didn't get it. You mean you work 5 days and you didn't get a paycheck? Right? That's not for me. I want to work 5 days, and I want a paycheck. Well, that's not farming. Right? As a matter of fact, if you watch that farmer day after day, week after week, month after month, many times an entire year, depending on what the farmer's doing, and they haven't got a paycheck yet. And when they finally do get paid, they need to be responsible, because that's what they're going to need to take care of themselves and their family in that farm for another 52 weeks. So they better be responsible. That's just the nature of farming, right? And it's going to carry them to another year. But you know what else? Another reason it's precious is because others benefit from it also. Precious fruit. And so what is James doing here? James says, you know, do you get it? He says, I want to show you a character that is ambitious, and he goes to work day after day, responsible living, not for immediate gratification, but he has this precious fruit of mind, and what he does, notice he uses two words here. He says about the farmer that he waits. Right? Now, even in the Greek, that's two different words there. In English, we have wait and we have patient, or maybe your translation says perseverance. And so the word wait means that you look with expectation, right? And the idea of perseverance is being long-spirited. And so, in other words, you're willing to say, that I'm willing to live responsibly. I'm going to be responsible now. You know, whatever I have to give up labor-wise, pain-wise, suffering-wise, inconvenience-wise, conflict-wise, I'm willing to give all of that up right now. I'll suffer for a long time. Why? Well, because I know what I'm waiting to receive. I'm waiting for that precious fruit. Right? And I think too often, and now here's where I appreciate Brother Matt leading that song from Isaiah 40. Jump back to Isaiah 40. I think too often we think that when we read that word waiting or wait in our Bibles, we tend to think that it means to sit down and do nothing, right? To sit down and cross our arms and do nothing. We think that that's what that word wait means. Listen, that is not the biblical definition. And he uses the farmer there, right? Listen, does the farmer sit down and do nothing? Absolutely not. He wouldn't be responsible if he did. So we get the example of that farmer working all year, investing time and blood, sweat and tears, anguish and all that. The farmer being the example, that's what waiting means, to be like the farmer. All right, so let's not use our definition, let's use God's definition. That's what that is. Right, what's the farmer doing? He's out there working hard. What's he doing? Well, you know, he's waiting responsibly. Well, what's he waiting on? He has an expectation of that precious fruit that's going to be produced one day. Right? Until then, he's going to live responsibly. So I want you to notice this here in Isaiah 40. See, he even had a slide for this. You know, I'm not making it up, but he picked this song here. It's perfect. Now, when we think about waiting, right, that's why I had Isaiah 40 here. You know, when you talk about patiently waiting, this is one of the top verses that most people go to. Maybe it's one of your favorite verses. Right, but I want you to notice something here. And I want you to read it with the appreciation of knowing the definition of waiting. Right, looking forward with expectation. Read it with that definition. Right, let's do our part. God did his part. You know, we can long with expectation. We know God is faithful. Look at verse 29. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Have you ever felt that way? Right, I just can't go on. There's just too much happening. There's just too much heartache in my life. I can't go on. I read 30 and 31. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So who is it when they feel like they just can't go on anymore? Right, that they find strength to keep moving on. Well, the answer is those who wait on the Lord, those who look with expectation. Right, and what are they looking for? Well, they're waiting for the return of the Lord. Right, God is coming again. The judge is standing at the door, and they understand that. Right, and since he's coming back again, you know, I don't want to be found as being irresponsible. So I'm going to wait like the farmer. Now, so with that in mind, you know, personalize this, you know, and think about this. Is that your ambition in your story? You know, make sure you personalize it. You know, how does that affect you? You know, who are you and what gets you up and moving and taking action? You know, and what are you moving towards? Right. Can you honestly say this morning that I live every day in view of the Lord's second coming? Right. Everything that I do, I'm a character in the great redemptive story of mankind. Everything I do, I'm a character living a responsible Christian life. And, you know, I'm going to be a vessel of honor. I'm going to make an impact spiritually. And during, because I want to be ready for the Lord. I want to be ready for his second coming. Now, these next two illustrations here, they really get into the conflict side of responsible living, right, with Isaiah 40 here in mind. And I want you to think about, could it be that there are valuable lessons to learn in conflict and pain? Right, we learn from the prophets from the prophets in Job what real priorities are. So let's go to number two here, a second of three main points, and read about the prophets. 8-11, you will also be patient, establish your hearts, and I love that phrase. Let that phrase sink in, establish your hearts, verse 8. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Now, remember, prophet just means a spokesman for God. You know, and that's good, right? You know, they're just going out speaking for God. That's all they're doing. Right? They're just being spokesmen. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Right? They're just doing what God asked them to do. That's all they're doing. But you notice the results of verse 10, as an example of suffering and patience. You know, you got to be kidding me. They're just going out there doing what's right, doing the right thing, being responsible, and God's going to let them suffer? Why? Or better stated, how? Right? How did the prophets like Jeremiah make it through what they endured? Well, they made it because they established their hearts to God. Right? In other words, they made that decision to be responsible to God no matter the cost, no matter the situation in life. They established their hearts to God. That's what I'm going to do. That's who I'm going to be. That's my ambition in the character of my story, again, if you will. Nothing's going to move me. You know, the question of pain and suffering, right? That's a question that man has asked from the earliest philosophers. Right? Matter of fact, even, you know, in Job, which I guess we'll mention in a moment, but that's part of the question here. Remember Stephen? We talked about him last Sunday evening. Right? Before he was stoned to death, Acts 7, and he said, which of the prophets had your fathers not persecuted? And so doing it like the prophets, being a spokesman for God, listen, it can and it will bring conflict into your story, but that's okay because you established your heart, didn't you? I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be a spokesman for God. Regardless of the pain and the conflict it brings into my story, I'm just going to be responsible. Let's go ahead and jump to number three here, our third point. Think about Job. Right, we all know the story of Job. Right, and answering that even deeper question, you know, why is it good? Why is it that good people, responsible people of God, why do they suffer? Well, Job here, verse 11, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. You know, I don't think we could find a better example of suffering in the Bible than Job, right? Righteous man, responsible man, we're told. Yet Satan, what did he do? Well, he brought conflict right to his door in the most personal way possible. Do you know the story? Right, and we ask, you know, how did Job do it? How did he remain faithful? Right, everything that he went through, yet he worshiped God, he refused to curse God, he refused to be irresponsible. And you look at that kind of endurance. You know, at the end, in chapter 42, right, and God comes back and generously restores to him everything and many times more than even what he had before. jump over to Psalm 40, if you will. We're going to begin to wind down here. So what is the end that the Lord wants us to see about the story of Job? Now, back there in James chapter 5, verse 11, you remember how we just read that a moment ago, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So how do you respond when you feel like, now we got Job in mind, how do you respond when God doesn't do things the way that you wanted things to be done, right? God doesn't move in your timetable. Or you know, people in your life, they didn't do what you think they should have done. You know, how quickly are you distracted from responsible living, faithfulness? You know, how quickly are you distracted from that? You know, when you think about it, just things aren't going the way that you think they should go. And we need to be honest here. What is it that things, they just don't work out? What is it that we do? Right? So look at Psalm 40, verses 1, 2, and 3. You know, and we get tempted, hey, God should have opened a door by now. Things should have worked out by now. I want you to note this here. Think about the farmer. Think about what it means to wait as we read this. Think about the prophets. Think about Job here. And listen to this difficult time that David was in when he wrote this psalm. Because if we're honest, we'd admit that at times we actually use conflict in our lives to justify living an irresponsible life. Right? We do the opposite of what God wants us to do. Well, Lord, I would be responsible right now in my faith, but look at all of this conflict. Right? We just use it as a crutch and excuse. However you want to look at that, to say, well, I guess I could be irresponsible with my faith because bad things are happening to me. Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited, remember, waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Verse 2, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Now notice what he did. And set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Now pause for just a moment. Think back to James 5. How many times did he say, wait, wait patiently on the Lord and so forth? Right, and how James said, establish your hearts. Remember that? And here he's saying, you know, I was down in the pit. I was in conflict. All right, but my feet were mired in clay. I was wondering, you know, God, where are you? And he says, I just kept waiting. You know, I just kept waiting. In other words, I didn't stray from God. I didn't turn my back on God. You know, at times I couldn't understand everything that was going on in my life. But, you know, I continued to move forward. I continued to move towards him. You know, at times I wanted it to be different, but I established my heart to being responsible to God. And I continued to move towards him. As David says, the Lord helped me establish my steps, right? Set firmly in place to endure. Now notice the result here in verse 3. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear, and I will trust in the Lord. Is that what your Bible says? That's what mine says. So is there anyone here today that knows about a difficult time that you went through? Listen, there's no one like a Christian who can properly endure conflict and trials and pain and suffering. If you kept your eyes fixed on Jesus, moving toward your God-designed end, and people saw that, listen, you know, that's more powerful than 1,000 preachers and 1,000 sermons. Right? You went through it so faithfully so that now they see the song in your mouth and now they hear the praise that you give God, although you were in a pit. And the result now is they trust God, they fear God, and that's what he's telling us here. That's the power of your example. Listen, when we think about who we are, I know it's easy to maybe think about our occupation as being who we are. Right? We say, well, that's what I do for a living, that's who I am. You know, or maybe we think about a hobby or a sport we enjoy, and we say, well, that's who I am. But do you realize that those things are not the great story in your life? Now, they might be part of your life, but who you really are is you're a soul that's been made in the very image of God, a soul that's going to exist for an eternity somewhere. And what if we can honestly say, as we're looking at our text here, that I see myself every day in every way as a responsible child of God, and so I'm going to move towards the coming of the Lord, because I want to spend an eternity with my God. Verse 11 again, indeed we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. And I just put up some different translations there to kind of get you thinking about that, what that phrase means. And so me knowing who I am, a child of God, a blood-bought possession of Jesus Christ, you know, this gives me my ambition. It moves me to take action, moves me towards God. That's his intention. That's his purpose for my life, for our lives, collectively as a body of believers. Right? I know who I am, and I know where I'm going. I know who my Creator is. So when conflict comes in my life, I'm going to be okay. I'm not going to move away from my end goal. I'm being prepared for the coming of the Lord. So by way of conclusion, think about what James just told us here. First, you know, are you like the farmer? Can you wait? Right? Even when you don't know how long you have to wait, will you put in the responsible hard work? Or like the prophets? Are we comfortable serving a God who says, I'm going to give you a lot of hard work, and you know what? In that, there's going to be a lot of conflict in your life. Are you comfortable serving a God that says that? Are you comfortable serving a God who says, I will allow you to be tested and tried because I love you that much? Because I know it will refine you, it will purify your faith, it will strengthen you until the end. Or, of course, like Job, you know, what about the losses? Right? There's just times simply we have to be brought to our knees to figure out who our God is. Maybe it's death, maybe it's poverty, maybe it's hatred from others, maybe it's all the above. You know, James isn't saying conflict is easy, right? But if conflict gets us moving towards God, if conflict refines my faith because the judge is standing at the door, and we're going to be ready like the farmer, like the prophets, like Job, and we've established unmovable, responsible hearts toward God, right? We know where we're going. We know that God is almighty and compassionate and merciful, and he's going to lead us home, right? And none of us are going to get there because it's easy. Listen, none of us are going to make it there because it's easy. You're not going to accidentally make it to heaven. But we've established our hearts to God, and we know he's coming, and we want to be ready. And that's the key thought for this lesson. You know, where are you? You know, what can you do more to be like the farmer, the prophets, and Job? You know, what do you need to evaluate? What do you need to fix and change? And how can we help in that? Right, we're in this together as a family. We need to think about that and be a part of that in each other's lives. And so this morning here, if there's somebody in our presence that has not obeyed the gospel, You're not prepared. Listen. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. The judge is standing at the door. Are you ready? Have you been immersed into Christ for the removal of your sins with a responsive faith? And if you don't know what that is, we need to sit down and talk about it, open up the Word of God and let you see that. You have an opportunity to do so this morning. If you haven't, maybe you've done that. And along the way, you lost your way and you lost that preparation mindset. And you've separated yourself from God. Listen, it can be a beautiful day for you. You can start all over. You know, what a great thought to start all over. And we'd love to help you with that. Pray for you, pray with you, whatever it is you might need. So if you have any need or just need encouragement or prayers, don't hesitate and let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.